Blog Talk Radio.
Edition of Sports Tonight brought to you by Bradford White Water Heaters of Amber, Pennsylvania. When a person is a water heater, log on to bradfordwhite.com. The Abbey course up there by Cross Street St. Louis University got a great foursome deal, four players for $80 in Tampa Bay Golf and Country Club. Give Tim Baker a call, 352-588-5454. I'd like to welcome a legend of the Tampa Bay area. He does a great job with the Tampa Bay Rays. Mr. Dick Crippa, you're talking to Atlanta legend, Mr. Roger Hendler. Dick, welcome aboard, sir. It's always a pleasure, sir.
Let me tell you something. I thought the game was over. I heard the fat lady sing. I don't even remember the game, and it's already over.
It was funny because I'm watching it.
we're having some fun, Tommy, I'll tell you. It's spring training, and everything is just going along great. We're looking forward to Friday. In the case of the Rays, that'll be our opening day for spring training. And then 1 month from Friday is when we open the regular season. So it's coming upon us very, very fast.
Where has the off-season gone? MLB Radio today, one of them picked the Rays to win it all.
Well, I got to be honest with you, that's one of quite a few. I think the people are very aware. The experts, so-called, and I'll put parentheses around that or quotation marks or whatever, they are all aware of the fact that the Rays have their highest payroll that they've ever had. But it's a belief that this team, as assembled, can really make something happen. And I think the core of it comes around, number one, the pitching with David Price back. And everybody was, David, is he going to stay? You know, listen, David Price, they never wanted to get rid of David. It was just simply a fact that if they got a deal like they got with James Shields, where they get a kid that comes in and comes up to the major leagues in June and wins the major American League Rookie of the Year, then you go for it. But in this case, they didn't get that kind of an offer. They're very happy to have David back. David, that's the important part. David is the one that's happy. He's thrilled to death to be still with the Rays. So I think that's a big key. The other thing is that we kind of made a little bit of history in having four players, our entire infield, nominated individually for Gold Gloves, and we have that entire infield back. So I think everybody's feeling very, very good. As one person said to me, all the questions at the end of the season last year were answered in the off season.
That's a great point, because we worried about David Price in the off season. We worried about James Loney. Now this team is even stronger, Dick, I think, because you got DeJesus, you got the catcher from Cincinnati, you got all these parts up there, the component parts, and this team is going to be playing baseball way in October, possibly November, and you're going to get a souvenir on that finger, and it's going to say world champion Tampa Bay Rays for the Diamonds. I'd just like to kiss that ring when you receive it.
Well, I don't know about kissing it, but I'll tell you what. I got the one for the championship in 2008,
right.
And that's the most expensive jewelry I have. So if they want to match that. I told Jill when I was presented with that, I said, I hope this is the start of my collection. And I'll tell you, everybody in camp is feeling terrific. They have a tremendous amount of camaraderie right off the bat, which is something that when you get new players in, you kind of feel like you're going to have to adjust with them. But these guys have adjusted. Hannigan came right in. He had already asked for tapes so that he could study the pitchers and know how they pitched and what to look for. I mean, these are the kind of things that make winners, and we're feeling good. Joe's motto for the year is eat last, and I love that. Eat last, because apparently Evan Longoria was reading a book that was military-based, and the thing with the leaders of the military, the generals and what have you, were that they eat last. So the leaders eat last. And Joe said, if we eat last, it is going to be a feast.
That's right.
That's a great philosophy. It's just like with the late Fred Cheryl said, like, we walk together, we win together. And then, and what John Tortorella said, he says, faith is death. And this is, I love that motto for what Joe just said. And I've been saying all along since when, Fall Race is 98. It's going to be great to have another World Series come down here.
Yeah.
And this time we won't get interrupted by the weather situation, the rain delays, the snow delays. We'll be hosting a home field advantage to the World Series in October, and then we're going to have one great time watching baseball. Dick, I am so excited for spring training right now, and I just wish the regular season was here already.
Well, you're not going to get an argument from me, Tom. You know,
I know.
What do you think of the fact that they're going to have replays now? Will that smooth the game out a little more, or do you think that'll bring more consternation?
Well, you know, it's funny that you bring that up, because the other night I was in an affair and Richie Garcia was there, and I talked to Richie about it, and Richie says the thing he's concerned about is the possible sparring among the umpires. And, you know, they're going to call down and say, well, the guy was safe. And the umpire that made the call isn't going to really agree with that, you know, because he made the call that he was out. And it's an interesting way to look at it. But I think overall for the game, one of the complaints I hear about all the time is you don't show the replays on the big board. And that's true, we don't. And that's generally Major League Baseball saying don't show the replays, especially on close calls. On home runs, we show the replay. But I think this will change it up a little bit. I think the fans maybe will get a little bit more involved, because they'll be able to see the play like they would see it at home. And maybe that will help make a difference in the way they understand the game. So I'm waiting to see, but I think just like the collision rule at the home plate, I think there's going to be some tweaking on it, and I think it's going to be something that grows with the game.
Nick, I wanted to ask you, has Joe said whether he'll be aggressive on the challenger? I mean, Ryan Sandberg has already said he's going to be aggressive early because I think it changes in the seventh inning. Isn't that right?
Yeah, something like that. And, yeah, I think, you know, Joe hasn't really specifically said that. Joe would consider that strategy, and he doesn't really get into that kind of strategy. But mm-hmm. I would say that he, knowing Joe, hey, here's a guy that you know, calls for all sorts of double steals and things like that. I think he'll be aggressive.
Oh, yeah, he's an aggressive manager, no doubt.
Exactly about that. But, you know, for getting back to David Price, guys, I can tell one member of the David Price household is happy that he don't have to go anywhere. It's Astro. He's used to the warm weather right now. You know, he don't have to go anywhere outside, you know.
Yeah,
we get used
I'll
to different city.
I was talking to Joe the other day, and we were talking about Winston, his bulldog, and somebody had said, you know, how is he in the RV, you know, riding in the RV, and because Joe's got this 40-foot RV that they actually, at the end of the season, he and Jay, they started, I think, in Pennsylvania for a wedding, and they went down to Virginia and Washington, D.C., and they visited Charleston, which he's always wanted to do, and then went down to St. Augustine to visit some friends, and then down to Key West and all. And they said, well, how was Winston? He said, you open your car door, you have a dog. And so be ready. If you open your car door, the dog is in.
There's going to be a lot more northerners coming down to Florida during spring training than ever before with that bad weather. And when you were talking about Washington today at one of the train stations and also at one of the major bus stops, there were individuals killed.
And is that right?
Very sad, yeah. And you look at it, if you looked at the pictures today, more snow on the roads up in Pennsylvania with D.C. Unbelievable. Just
and more coming. There's
yeah, more
coming.
Coming, exactly, yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, I look at and laugh a lot at the Weather Channel. It's my entertainment as opposed to HBO
yep.
and the rest of that stuff. But
right.
Seriously, I think you're right because already there has been a huge influx. I've seen it on the roads. They had a report in the paper today about the restaurants and how well they're doing. And it is a lot of the winter visitors who have come down, and many of them, maybe unexpectedly, but just said, we can't take any more of this. And, I mean, they're talking about I think they said 48 days of below freezing in Green Bay, and 22 out of 25 is the record in Minneapolis, and they're at 22 right now. And, I mean, this new cold front that's coming through, it's brutal. It's absolutely brutal.
Well,
so
we're back here in Atlanta. We're back to 30 and below.
Yeah. See, that's the whole point. That one day you're at 60 or 70, and
yes.
the next day you're at 30. And
right.
Down here, I mean, we've had to put up, I mean, we had fog several mornings.
Right, right.
You know, that was pretty bad, but it disappeared. And a friend of mine in Jersey wrote down, and he said, we had 10 inches of snow this morning. I said, we had 10 inches of fog. But it disappeared. So, you know, I just can't say enough about living here because we were talking even during Fan Fest. You know, we're one of the few teams that can have it during early spring training
right.
because we don't have to worry about the weather. And we have it
that's
at
right.
the stadium.
Yeah.
So 20,000
right.
people came out and enjoyed free air conditioning.
Yeah, the Phillies usually have it in the latter November
yeah.
know, for the holidays, and it's usually not a problem until this year.
But what is a problem is getting all the guys in.
That's true. Exactly.
You know,
good point.
And
yeah.
this way they get a bus down at the spring training site and bring them up here. So they're all here.
That's great.
That was 20,000 fans for that Fans Fest. That's fantastic. Dick, another thing, how's that flex pack going? I read in the paper what Stu Sternberg said, it's going great. They can fans. Yeah. Can you explain that? How the fan would purchase that?
Well,
for the...
basically, there's three levels, if you will. There's a three pack, a six pack, and a nine pack. And in all cases, you save over the individual tickets. If you bought individual tickets to each game. But here's the key to the whole thing, and this is what makes it really, really neat. They have no dates assigned to you.
Oh.
So, in other words, where you used to get Kansas City on a Tuesday night,
right.
You can pick. We have five weekends where we're playing either the Red Sox or the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
Those tickets can be used for those games. So I think that's one of the great things that we've done. I know people that actually gave those as Christmas gifts because they didn't have an assigned date. So you didn't have to worry about whether the person receiving the gift could make the date or not. You know, choose your own date.
They pick their own, right? They go in after they get the gift and pick their own dates.
Yeah, exactly.
That's great.
Yeah, so it's a pretty innovative program that I thought was just fabulous. And then, you know, we also have modified the stadium, which will be a surprise to a lot of people. We have what we call right at the moment the Rays 360. It goes from the left-hand side of the lower boxes. Tommy, you know we have those five boxes on the low level, on the concourse level.
Yes.
So it goes from the left side or the first base side of those boxes, and you could walk from there all the way around the stadium to the third base side of those boxes.
Oh.
And you're going to be able to go out there, and there's concessions where the batter's eye used to be, the restaurant in center field, and you'll be able to see the game. It'll be a great meeting spot. It'll be a great place. If people that are sitting in the outfield no longer have to go up and down into the into the tunnel to see the TVs and try to get something, now they can go right over to the concession stand in center field, and they don't lose sight of the game the whole trip.
That's fantastic. Dick, I'd like to thank you so much for coming on tonight.
Hey, listen, absolutely my pleasure, guys. Talking about this team this year, it's a ball.
I know we're going to get you on. We'll get you on several times during the season about
you
that,
got
Dick.
It.
So I can't wait for
the season for the Rays. There's no doubt about it.
My friend. Thank you, bud. I really appreciate that.
Thank,
all right, guys.
Thanks.
Have a great
Take care,
night.
Dick. God bless.
Thank
all right.
you, Dick. God bless. Have a great night. Well, we'll change gears. Another good friend of mine does a great job for the Tampa Tribune, covering the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but his first love is hockey, and I'd like to welcome Roy Cummings. Roy, real quick story. The Abbey course, that fourth hole up there, remember that hole used to be a par four, it's a par three. I hit an 8-iron. I just got out the other day, get 9 holes in the other day, hit an 8-iron, hit the pin on the fly, and the ball bounced out of the hole.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. Oh, my gosh. Now,
you know,
you should get credit for a hole-in-one there and then get credit for the birdie when you come back in and tap it in.
Right.
I think that's how that should work.
Roy, how you doing this evening, sir?
I'm good, guys. How's everybody?
Good, Roy. You know, Frank, we were talking about it before. I was in various publications today. Very interesting. Ron Jaworski says he wouldn't take Johnny Manziel even in the third round.
Yeah, I saw that. A little surprised.
Yeah.
You know, I'll tell you what, guys. When I left the combine on Monday, I was out there from Wednesday through Monday, and when I left, I said I had two thoughts about some of the top players in the draft. Number one was I wouldn't be surprised at all if neither Jadeveon Clowney nor Johnny Manziel were the first picks in the draft. I could see both of those guys take a bit of a tumble. And when I say tumble, I don't mean, you know, 20 spots necessarily, but at least not for Clowney. I don't think Clowney will get out of the top 10. My guess is he probably won't get out of the top 5. But I could see Manziel taking a bit of a fall. I think in order to get Johnny Manziel, I think you got to be the kind of team that's going to, you know, play his style of football, and you've got to be willing to do what he does, you know, offensively, and accept the fact that he's going to be running around out there, and he's going to take some licks that, you know, could endanger his long-term ability and their long-term availability, I should say. And you know, I think it takes a certain kind of team to draft him. So, you know, the thing is, there's a lot of teams needing quarterbacks at the top of the draft. It's usually that way. So my guess is he will probably, you know, be taken in the first five or 8 or 10 picks. But you never know. I mean, if somebody suddenly thinks that Blake Bortles is a better player, and if Derek Carr suddenly started to rise up some boards or people started to see him as a better option, I could see Johnny Manziel falling. I don't think it'll be the third round, but I could see him dropping a few spots for sure.
Well, I'll tell you, Roy, you know what was interesting? I was listening to Sirius NFL Radio the other day, and I'm a big fan, as you know, of Connor Shaw. Okay, you know, he played at Flowery Branch High School, South Carolina. Good friends with his father, who's a great high school coach. And they were talking about how high they are. Now, these are guys, you know, quote-unquote experts, you know, on Sirius NFL. And they were going over about you never see anybody that played for Spurrier that wasn't prepared coming out of college for the NFL. And, you know, you go back, I guess, in history, that's a good point. And, you know, I'm not saying Connor's going to go in a first, second, third round even, but he's got the size. And obviously he's a leader, and he's got the arm. So he could be a diamond in the rough.
Well, here's the thing, guys. I think this draft for quarterback has tremendous value. If you're a team that is in need of a quarterback but is willing to wait maybe a year or two before that player has to play and develop, by that what I mean is I think in the third, fourth round, I think you can get not only a Connor Shaw, but I think you can get obviously an Aaron Murray, maybe an A.J. McCarron. There's a couple other kids. You know, we'll see where Derek Carr falls. I think there's a few quarterbacks who you can get tremendous value by picking in the third or fourth round this year. And they're more, you know, standard type quarterbacks. They're pocket passers. They're guys who, you know, you can be a little bit more sure of because their game is not, you know, predicated on the fact that he's got to get outside the pocket and make plays that way. Let's face it, Johnny Manziel's ability to extend plays is outstanding. It's probably second to none. But the problem is there's some people who think that maybe that's his only skill is to get outside the pocket and extend plays. Once he gets in the pocket and he can't really escape, you know, can he stand in there and make throws? I'll tell you what, at 5'11 and 7'8 or 3/4 or whatever it is he checked in at, there's going to be some questions about that, looking over those big linemen. You know, he's not Drew Brees. Drew Brees has a tremendous knowledge of how defenses are set up, where those windows are, be it, you know, a cover two, whatever it is. He knows where those windows are. And until Johnny Manziel has that kind of savvy about him, if he's forced to stay inside the pocket, he may have a hard time making plays inside that pocket. Mm-hmm.
Well, I still think with the Buccaneers draft, they got to get, you know, linebackers, defensive backs up there. I still stick with Glenn and Roy, and I still stick love the offense right now. Get one more offensive lineman and a great defensive end to complement Jared Williams, and I'll be very happy being a Bucs fan with the draft.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you, Tom. Yeah, I think they feel very good about Mike Glennon. You know, they're not going to overstate it at this point. We'll see who they bring in free agency. I'm almost certain that the next quarterback they get will be a free agent quarterback, a veteran type, who can, you know, be there and back up Glennon if he doesn't win the job, you know, who can help him develop. I think that's going to be a big part of it. What Lovie Smith said the other day to me, and it was Rick Stroud of the Times, we had a kind of a private sit-down with him, breakfast on Thursday morning, and what he said and what came out about the quarterback situation is that if the Bucs are sitting there at number seven and what they believe is a franchise-caliber quarterback is there at number seven, they've got to consider it. And you know what? You want to hear that from your coach. You don't want him to pass on the opportunity to take what could be the best quarterback over the next 15 years if your, you know, scouts and everybody in your camp has evaluated the kid and said, you know what, this kid's going to be a stud. He's going to be a star, and he's going to be a star for the next dozen years or more. You've got to consider it, if not make the move on it. But I, to be honest with you, I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think those quarterbacks are going to be there for them. You know, I think my guess is the Bucs are probably, considering the fact they've only got five draft picks and what is arguably the best, the deepest draft in maybe 15 or 20 years, I wouldn't be surprised at all if they trade down. If they don't trade down, maybe they get an offensive lineman. You know, they're going to try to do everything they can to fill all the holes in free agency. That's what free agency is about, and that's going to be their objective. They're going to try to fill all the holes that way. You know, if they miss somewhere along the line, the draft will have to dictate what they do. But they're going to try to go into that draft without having to dictate what their picks are, and that would open up a lot of options for them.
And the thing that concerns me the most, Roy, how's Connor Barth's health right now?
You know what? I haven't talked to his agent today, and probably going to call Connor tomorrow the next day and check in with him. He's doing tremendous. He's doing very well. He's hit some 60-yarders, according to his agent. So, and I know he was hitting some 50-yarders just a couple months ago when the season ended. So he's coming along really well. I it sounds to me like he's making a real good, solid comeback from that Achilles tendon tear. And I'll tell you, that's a tough one. I mean, I did it myself playing tennis several years back, about 15, 16, 18 years ago, I guess it was. And it was tough. I'll tell you, I'd be very worried about a kicker having to try to come back from that kind of an injury. But it sure sounds like Connor's making a pretty good bounce back. So hopefully we'll have a little bit more on that later in the week. But it sounds like he's doing pretty well.
That's fantastic. Because that's my main concern. Connor Barth, he did something great for charity, and unfortunately he got hurt that way and that. But I think it's great for him to come back. Roy, what do you think about the Olympic hockey for Team Canada? What can you say? Team Canada was just such a great talent up there they had.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I don't know if I can put this the right way, but boy, it sure was nice to see Russia lose on their own might.
It
was great to see him lose to the United States, and it's great to see him not even get in the medal round. So I was very happy with that, first of all. Very disappointed in Team USA, the way they played that last game. I think they, you know, my gut tells me that what they're thinking was, is, hey, if we can't win gold, we don't, you know, what does it matter? But it does matter, and I don't think they did the program justice the way they played that game against Finland at the end. But I'll tell you what, I think we all expected a Team Canada, Team USA final and gold medal game, and I think those were the two best teams, and I think Canada proved that it was by far the best team. You know, it certainly beat the United States when it needed to, and it was a heck of a game. And it's unfortunate for the U.S., but I'm happy for Canada. You know, it means probably the most to them. And you know what? I'm glad they've got the gold medal. They certainly earned it. It was a heck of a team. And you know what? I guess that's your A squad. But they did it without Steven Stamkos, which is shows you how deep that team is.
And the main thing, Stammer's coming back hopefully a week from tomorrow night. At the Forum, right? Hope you and Ira can be there for that game.
Well, I mean, I hope you're right, Tommy, but I'll tell you what, I think if I'm the Lightning, I'm going to stop putting any kind of dates and expectations on the whole Stammer thing, you know.
Right.
I think we've learned over the last few weeks here that clearly someone, whether it's the organization, Stamkos himself, Team Canada, the media, I don't know who it was, but someone was pushing that agenda aggressively and too aggressively, and he was clearly not ready, not even close to being ready for a comeback for the Olympics, because here we are, it's going to be 2 weeks hence, and he's still not going to be on the ice. So we'll see what happens, as you say, a week from tomorrow. It's a 9-day trip, Tommy, so I guess we're about a week and a half away from getting another shot. But, you know, we'll see. Again, I know they're not going to push it. But you know, I think the bigger question now is when Stammer does come back, is he gonna have Marty St. Louis on his line? It's starting to sound like maybe he's not. And I'll tell you what, Marty St. Louis did not sound like a captain that I want on my team today when he basically blew off the opportunity to put an end to this rumor about him not being happy here in Tampa. It sure sounds like, you know, he's maybe trying to push things a little bit and try to make sure that you know, something happens in regards to him being moved. I don't know. We'll see what happens. But very interesting doings with the Lightning right now, is for sure.
Well, Boy, I tell you, I heard about the rumors. I can't comment about the rumors up there and that. So I got to hope our general manager would do a good job, and I'm sure he will. I can't comment about those rumors up there. But one bad thing about the Olympics, I feel so bad for John Tavares, and he got hurt there over there. He's out for the season up there. That's the thing.
Well, not just Tavares, but, I think there's about half a dozen guys that are out for an extended period of time.
Right.
I understand, and if I'm the Islanders, I'm upset. I'm horribly upset.
Mm, sure.
They've lost their best player for the rest of the season. They were right on the, kind of fighting for a playoff spot, and right in that, fighting for that seventh, eighth spot, and it's going to be tough for them. Pittsburgh lost a player. The Red Wings, lost a player. Several teams lost players in this, which that's part of it. When you're going to go play a 10-day tournament, people are going to get hurt, and you've got to accept that. But I don't care how many players got hurt and how many teams are now without their best player or one of their best players. It's unfortunate, yes. But in my opinion, the NHL absolutely has to have the Olympics. And here's why,
yes.
Guys, in my opinion. What happened in the Olympics, people saw players and saw games and saw the game as it's supposed to be played. They saw things, that we didn't, and people didn't even know. New heroes were born in the Olympics for some people. And, the shootout, the U.S. over Russia, the first weekend was absolutely incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And, these are the things, these are the moments that wake people up. 6 million people watched the USA-Canada game. And 5 million people watched the USA-Russia game, and neither one of them was in prime time, guys. One of them was on at 7 a.m., the Russia game.
Yep.
And the Canada game was on at noon, and it was on Friday when people were working. So, the thing is, and still 6 million people took time out to watch. That's incredible. I'm not sure the NHL getting 6 million people watching a game, they're going to stay like a playoff. I mean, maybe my numbers are way off, but all I know is 6 million people at noon on a Friday, and 5 million people at 7 a.m. on a Wednesday are watching those games, and that was outstanding. That was great, and I just think the league has got to figure out a way to make sure that its players are in the Olympics. It's an absolute tremendous showcase for them, and I think the league needs it. More people pay attention to hockey, it seems, when it's an Olympic year, and I think it's great for the league, and I hope they figure out a way to get their players on there.
Roy, do you think that they will stay in the Olympics? Because there are a number of people, as we all know, in the league that said this was the last Olympics the NHL will be in.
Yeah, I know that a lot of people have said that. I know they're upset with the fact that they don't have any control over this, that, and the other. But you know what? Look, it's the Olympics. There's a couple of things that are bigger than the NHL. The Olympics are one of them, okay? That is a worldwide event. And I understand,
I agree.
The league being a world league, with players from all across Europe and North America, and sooner or later we're probably going to have a player from somewhere in South America. We're probably going to have a player from somewhere in Australia, Asia. Sooner or later the NHL is going to have players from all these, areas of the world, and they've got to be in it. They've got 4 years to figure out a way to make it work, however it's got to be. And the league doesn't realize the league needs the Olympics more than the Olympics needs the NHL. And I think somehow, some way, I think the people who run the league will figure that out and realize that they've got to make a move here. They've got to stay in it somehow. It's not going to be easy. Shutting down for 2 weeks is not easy. But at the end of the day, it's too good for the league. It's important for the league. I think it would be a big mistake if they don't find a way to get involved and stay involved.
I can agree with you 100%, 150% up there, because the NHL gets more involved up there, and people say, he plays for this team and that team. But, Roy, here's an interesting comment about the league up there, right? For how many players, you know, in that Canada USA game or Canada versus the game for the World Gold Medal, how many teammates played against each other? And it's an interesting thing. Well, here it is. We have like a coach of Pittsburgh, Danny Blysman, coach it against Sidney Crosby. How would you tell your defense guys, would you hit it, take him to the boards or try to knock him out? Because you need Sidney for the second half of the year. That's an interesting comment. I was just thinking about that.
Well, I'll tell you another thing that it was interesting, and I think teams, you know, I'm sure they appreciate this part a great deal, and this could happen no matter what, I suppose. But, you know, there were several players, lower-level players for the Lightning.
Right.
Third, fourth line guys, fifth and sixth defensemen, minor leaguers, who played for their respective countries in the Olympics. And you know what? That's tremendous experience, international experience for these guys. That's the biggest stage possible. Sorry, guys, but it's bigger than the Stanley Cup final stage, no matter what you say.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a great opportunity for those guys, to be involved in that. And I think their games just naturally are going to grow from it. And as a result, I that's one of the reasons I think that it greatly benefits the NHL to have its players involved. If, you have 4 years to figure it out. I'll be surprised if they can't figure out a way to appease the league and get some things. You know, if it works for the NBA, and I understand the NBA is not shutting down its game,
Then
they can figure out a way to make it work for the NHL too. There's got to be a way. I just think it's too important for the league, for the visibility of the league. I think it's too important. People that don't watch the NHL on a regular basis watch the NHL when the Olympics are on, and maybe, just maybe, you'll develop some fans out of it somehow.
Well, how great it was to get up on Sunday morning at 7 a.m. before the church services, and you get to watch a great hockey game. That was great.
Yeah,
I enjoyed
it's great.
That.
Yeah, I tell you, it was. I loved it. It was great. You know, and the schedule will be somewhat similar, I guess, 4 years from now. And if it matters to you, you find a way to see it. You know, everybody's not everybody, but a lot of people now have DVRs and the ability to tape games and things like that. So you don't necessarily have to miss it. NBC has done a tremendous job with the coverage. You don't have to miss anything. And, the opportunity to watch it happen live is just special. And because let's face it, guys, I mean, the biggest hockey game in the history of the game, USA beats Russia in the 80 Olympics, wasn't live, you know.
Right.
Now we get a chance to watch these things happen live, and like me appreciate the heck out of it, and I don't want to see it go away simply because the league can't figure out a way to make it all work.
Well, I'll tell you, Roy, I also think that the NBC has done a great job with the NHL, and I think also as far as the Olympics go, having Mike Emmerich as number one and then Kenny Albert coming over from Fox to do hockey, I thought that was a tremendous move. But I watching a lot of hockey games, I think NBC's doing a great job. And as Tommy knows, the only thing I'd like to see NBC do is resurrect Peter Buck. Because I think if you did that right, I think you'll draw a lot of kids. You know, when you have
a character.
Yeah, I
think you're right. I'd love
marketing.
To see Peter Buck come back. He was very popular when I was a kid, and I think everybody would love it. It'd be a lot of fun to see him. But you're right. I'll tell you what. NBC really does justice for the NHL.
It really goes
out of its way. There's a game virtually every night on the NBC Sports Network.
Mm-hmm.
They've got the weekends tied up in the wintertime. They've got the best broadcasters available. Tremendous stuff. You know, I mean, they do an outstanding job. Jeremy Roenick, and everybody else involved, in the studio, on the ice. Pierre Maguire. I mean, they have the best people. And if they could somehow get Don Cherry involved, I think it would be even better. But, but they do a tremendous job, just a great job promoting the league. And I think that's another reason why the league is going to end up being involved in the Olympics. I think NBC wants them there. They're paying a lot of money, and nothing draws. I mean, let's face it, the hockey draws about as well as as well as figure skating, which is always the top thing. So, I think NBC is going to want it, and I think they're going to probably, figure out a way along with the league to make it happen.
Well, when you talk about Jeremy Roenick, I worked with his father, Wally, for years. And
when he retired,
he's now running a golf club, a golf course, Pembroke Country Club up in Massachusetts.
Ooh,
so
wow.
You two gentlemen and Mr. Henderson and Mr. Carroll, if you're ever up in that area, let me know, because I'm sure he'd love to have you play his course.
Oh,
that'd be
so sweet. That'd be fantastic.
Sure.
Have to get the Cubs out, Roy.
Yeah, man, for sure.
Somebody say Cubs? Yeah. I got Cubs. I got 4 sets of Cubs. I can put you all in Cubs.
I've been good. I've been good. I'll tell you. Oh, so sad. I saw this closing ceremonies for the Olympics, and that was the same way Moscow closed out in 1980. That's kind of sad to see all that preparation. And Russia did such a great job of those building those buildings up there, and that it's kind of sad to see the closing ceremonies. I had a tear to my eye about that because it was. It's such a great job NBC did broadcasting. The athletes are right there, and that is such a it's great for the world to all get together that way.
Well, I don't disagree, Tommy. I'll tell you what, after 2 weeks of watching the Olympics, it doesn't take long for things to become kind of become part of your daily life and your
sure.
pattern of life. You know, we get into the habit of watching it, and
sure.
it was sad to see it end. You know, it always is, and I enjoy the Winter Olympics more than the Summer Games, and. I don't know if I said it here, but I even watch the curling and enjoy the heck out of it.
Definitely.
An Olympic sport that I don't like, and in the wintertime in particular, and I think it's all great stuff. And there were great stories, about athletes that, people that we don't even know. And it was great to get to know some of those people, at least through the TV and the stories that were told there and watching through the events and stuff. It was a great Olympics. It's unfortunate we finished second as opposed to first, but we still gained on Norway a little bit in the all-time standings for medals in the Winter Games. So there's a little bit of something to take from it.
About curling, I went to see that at the Salt Lake Olympics, I want to tell you that is real. I've really become interested in that over the years after going and seeing that as an event. And then I know Howard David, and Howard used to do basketball games, all over the place in the NBA. And he was telling me that you probably know this, that in Canada they have televised curling matches on a regular basis throughout the country.
Oh, yeah. Mm. You're right about that. You know, I've been to Canada enough times on hockey trips to know that let me tell you something. It's big doings up there, man. It's kind of like cricket in England. Mm-hmm. Soccer is by far the top game, but you'll find some cricket games on there on a regular basis. And curling is like that. It's a big event up in Canada. They love it. That's why they're some of the best. And if you get to the northern climes here in the United States, I remember in Chicago. The Saddle and Cycle Club was a place where there was a curling rink, and we used to play hockey games there as kids. But it was a curling rink, and curling's a great game. There's a lot of skill involved, and that's what a lot of people who may not be necessarily athletes to be involved in Olympic sports. So it's a great thing. It's fun to watch.
Yeah, I think they had it at Salt Lake. I think it was at the Weber State. I think isn't that north of Salt Lake City, Weber State?
Sounds about right.
I think it is, Roger.
That's where it was. Yeah, it was very interesting.
I love watching Olympics. I love watching those pair of skaters. You figure, oh, guys, hours of preparation for doing that. I mean, that's my favorite part about the Winter Olympics. Well, the figure skaters. Oh, and the pairs and the singles. I thoroughly enjoy watching that.
And we did a great job there in the pairs, obviously. And
yes.
The ice dancing, we did well. The men's and women's singles struggle a little bit. We got some ground to make up there. That used to be an area that we I wouldn't say we dominated, but we certainly had a good long run there, and we need to get back to that. I don't want to say that the judging this year was a little bit skewed, but there were some interesting numbers that came out, that's for sure.
So, Roy, actually, they had something come out on the wire this morning that the judges that did the Bradley fight, Bradley Pacquiao fight, were also the judges that did the skating thing, so we could see where we
were. Uh-oh.
Oh, no. I'm sure Ashley Wagner would agree.
But it's just so great to watch those figure skates. We had, didn't they have, I wonder how the pair did down in Ellington, Frank and everybody, because they had they practiced down there at the Ellington Sports Center. They went over there for the Olympics over there. But I remember the days Roy and probably Frank and Roger, Peggy Fleming on that doing that skate.
Right.
God, fantastic. And, you know, Peggy Fleming did that. And while you're growing up watching Peggy Fleming, Dick Button's the same thing on the men's side up there. Great on the ice up there. And I remember I used to yell at Reggie Reed, used to yell at the Flyers when they did a bad thing. I used to say to Bob Daly, "Hey, Bob Daly, the Escapades are going to be in town next week. Why don't you stay there and skate with them?" I was bad back then, guys. I'm sorry.
Well, no, but, you know, you're right, Tommy. But back in those days, you know, ABC owned the Olympics, and you had Rude Arledge, you know, who was the leader and way ahead of his time on developing televised sports. Let's face it.
And as always, the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat.
Yeah.
And I still remember John Claude Keeley going down the slopes up there. And who was one of our American skiers? I'm trying to think. I probably think all weekend I talked to you. Roy probably give you a call this week. I know that guy. But it's just, I remember John Claude Keeley going down those slopes up there and that. No, it's just the Winter Olympics. I got to be my favorite compared to the summer, like Roy, because, you know, the skiing, the bobsleds, and you got to give credit to Jamaican bobsled guys, right?
Yes.
Jamaican that.
Yes.
You got to give them credit for that.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely. Again, that's one of the things that's special about the Winter Games is you have teams involved in winter sports and, you know, from countries that don't have winter, you know, and it's amazing that they get involved. And I love the fact that, you know, we had a couple of Olympic sprinters involved in the bobsled, Lolo Jones and a couple others, you know, involved in our bobsled runs for the women. And so that's great stuff. That's what makes it fun, and I just think the Winter Games are extremely unique for the most part, and they're a lot of fun to watch. I miss them already.
Oh, I do too, Roy. Roy, I'd like to welcome our next guest, who's going to host a big street hockey tournament up at All Sports Arena in Newport Richey, Florida, September 17th to the 21st. Roy, it's always a big event. Always a pleasure to welcome Matt Gary, proprietor of the All Sports Arena. Matt, good evening. Talking to Roger, Roy Cummings for the Tampa Tribune, and Frank, Matt, welcome aboard, sir.
Hey guys, how you doing?
We're doing good.
How are you?
Tell everybody about your big event.
Yeah, well, it's like you said, it's a kind of like the Olympics to us over here. It's a ball hockey tournament, which is the grassroots of hockey for many people. And it's at the master's level, so it's 37 and older for men and 35 and older for women. And the event's been sold out already, so we got a lot of preparation to do for it, and I'm looking forward to it.
What is that
going to be? What are the dates? It's going to be September 17th through the 21st.
Okay, in the fall.
Definitely.
Yeah.
How could fans get tickets for this, man? How can companies be supporters for this, sponsors for this great tournament?
Well, you know, just they can contact me at allsportsarena@yahoo.com. They call me at 727-809-0775. But to come to actually watch it, we're not charging to come to the event. We're just opening it up to the public, which is, you know,
wow.
I just want to let everybody come enjoy, you know, what we're doing over there.
That's fantastic. Anybody locally be playing in this that we know from the Tampa Bay market?
We have a few guys that tried out in New Jersey and Philadelphia that are in Tampa that made the team. Most of them are from up north because Jersey, Philly, Boston, a few from the West Coast. But like I said, there was a tryout. Actually, two of them. The first time they got down to 50 guys, and now they're rostered at 25. And there's several teams coming from Canada, Slovakia, Greece. I can keep going on and on and on, but it's pretty exciting for me. It's the first time I've ever hosted something this big.
Wow, that's going to be fantastic up there. Roy, we should get our street hockey stuff on ready. Drop the puck for Matt, you know. Go, Matt, drop the puck up there.
Hey, Roy, had to go.
Listen, I don't want to interrupt, but I got two girls here that have to go to bed, but they have a question.
Oh, sure.
They want to talk to Tommy about golf and the other one about a little bit about dancing while we have them. So come here, Maggie.
Oh.
Okay,
sure,
Maggie McRae. Is an avid golfer, and here
you talk. I'll put you on the speaker. Okay, Maggie, talk about how much you like golf.
I like it a lot.
And you played 18 holes, and then you played 11 holes, right?
Mm-hmm.
So 7 years old, Tommy, playing 18, and then playing 11.
My God, that's fantastic! Did you get any pars or birdies, Maggie?
Once.
Oh, she
one
got
time,
one par.
Huh?
Whatever.
Oh,
how
my
about
God,
that?
She could beat me, Roger.
Tommy gets a lot of birdies, so unfortunately they have wings on them.
Yeah. So,
right.
And then Katie over here is the dancer. And, Katie, what dance do you like the best?
Lyrical.
Okay. And how long have you been dancing?
Well, I took a little break for, 2 years, but I've been dancing since I was two.
Since she was two? And she also is going to be in 7 straight recitals. She's
God bless her, Roger. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Wow.
But anyway, they've got to go to bed, but I wanted, you know, since they're here, they wanted to talk to us. You know, Maggie is quite the golfer, and I know you guys are, and I said, well, maybe sometime you'll be able to play against Mr. Tom and Mr. Don and Mr. Frank.
Sure, we'd love to. You know that, Roger. I've come up
this
summer and play golf.
How many shots is she going to give me?
How many shots are you
going to
give
them?
Her hole.
None. I only play if I get mulligans every hole.
Yeah, well, her father's a big golfer, so. But anyway, I didn't mean to interrupt, but they have to go to bed, and I told them.
Oh, God bless
you. I know you don't, Katie. I know that, but Maggie does. So, you know, Matt, I wanted to talk, you know, get back to you, to your arena. I'm going to be down there the week after next, and I know last year when I came down, I said I was going to get over. I definitely want to get over to see your arena because I think that what you're doing, and I said it before, and especially with this type of ball hockey, that can be really a driving force in some of these smaller arenas.
Absolutely. I'd love to have you come by and see the place as well.
Yeah, you know, because it was interesting. I was telling the guys last summer, relatives of ours, the girls were playing in that, what is it, the FIBA or FILA Nationals for basketball. All the big college coaches come, and this is in Swine, which isn't that far from our house, and they have, I think, 6 or 8 courts. I didn't even know this facility existed. And my wife and I have been by there so many times, and you went there, and, I mean, there were teams from all over the country. Now, obviously, it's a showcase, you know, for women's basketball, but I just, you know, I'm big on these smaller venues to help them in any way and to give them any ideas. And, you know, the Gwinnett Arena in summertime is usually pretty slow, and I think it's something like that. And I remember the one night my wife and I were in a restaurant. It was up in Willow Grove, and there was it was hockey. It was you know, girls women's hockey that was playing in a smaller arena up there, ice hockey, and that was in the summertime.
Mm.
Yeah, we have a women's league as well, actually, on Sundays. And some of the women are more into the men, to be honest with you.
I know, because I seen a couple of those leagues on when I said drop the tickets off to them. And I said, this is interesting. And what Matt does for the kids is fantastic now. Matt, tell Roger and everybody what you're going to do for the kids for the proceeds of this tournament, which is a great thing.
Well, I mean, basically, we're redoing the entire structure of the building here. Just so that we can get more things in there for the kids. The bathrooms are being redone. The locker rooms are being redone, putting in grandstands. We have a nice viewing area being done. I just know that, you know, this we kind of again given like a golden egg, so to speak, and hopefully through sponsorships we're going to be able to get this all done and have a beautiful place for these kids and, you know,
it's a very safe environment. I just want to make sure that I can give more back to these kids.
Well, Matt, what you do for those kids is fantastic. Up, you and your father are great people, and great to be a part of our radio family each week, Matt. Well, you know, just to give us an update and about that. So I just think that Roger, when we come down to the arena, call me. We'll have to go up and see Matt near the arena. It's a great arena.
Absolutely.
I think.
Yeah, we're going to be coming down probably a week from when's the what's Monday, the 3rd?
Third already?
Anyway, yeah, I mean, I think Monday's the 3rd of March, isn't it?
It's no snowing
yeah,
in Chicago.
Yeah. How long are you going to be here for, Roger? I'm going to be, we're coming down on Monday to Friday, coming home on Friday, so we'll be there all week. The following week. The reason I was asking is because on the 8th of March, I have an MMA event there, and if you were going to be in town, I was going to have you come as a guest. Oh, well, thanks. No, it won't be until, anyway, whatever that Monday is, if the following week. The 10th, yeah.
Oh, my God, Roger, lighting's home when you're down here on that Thursday night.
I'll be there, you know,
great, come
with RG. That's father-in-law.
Oh, okay, uh-oh. Speaking of Doug, where's Mr. Haggerty tonight? Uh-oh.
He can't wait to meet you fellas. I said, well, we'll go down and see your Orioles play in Sarasota. And he said, can I meet Don and Tommy and Frank? I said, believe me, we'll make sure you meet everybody.
You have to. And Matt, too, now.
That's right. Yeah.
But I
definitely want to see that arena because, you know, I think I've said this before, Matt, when you've been on, and you do a great job, and you're going to be congratulated because I'm big in the community involvement, and I know you are too, and it's very, very easily seen. Well, you know, especially in the town we're in, there's not much for kids to do, so we have to find things for them. You know, you can't let them just go out and get, you know, cause mischief everywhere. That's
a
place
right.
to be where the parents know that they're okay and that they can have, you know, they need to exercise as well. Kids get, you know, they get lazy on these computers these days.
Oh, tell me about that. But, Roger, every time I used to go up see Matt, you know, during the business day, you know, he always had the hockey nets up. I used to take the puck out there and the stick used to be – I used to bang it off the boards, pretend I was Eric Brewer, banging off the boards and icing the puck.
And then we'd have to go get him ice. We had to get him ice for a half an hour afterwards. I felt awful.
And my bones are hurting, Matt. You know that. They're a sore sack up. But, Matt, tell everybody once again your tournament up there and people contact you for sponsorship or anything else to be help for you guys.
Yeah, again, it's September 17th through the 21st. It's the World Masters Ball Hockey Tournament. I can be reached by email at allsportsarena@yahoo.com or 727-845-7808, and I can email you out the sponsorship package. It is going to be streamlined through 43 countries, so a lot of people are going to be watching.
Boy, Matt, always a pleasure, Matt, to have you on up there. Same time, same station next week, Matt.
Yes, thank you so much. You guys have a great
day.
Take care,
Matt. Have a great week.
Take care, Matt. Thank you.
You know what, Tommy and Frank, you know what I was thinking about, Tommy, when you were talking about when you go over there and hit the ice? You know, just think about when we were growing up in Delaware County, if the high schools had ice hockey teams like
right.
they do today. And I know one of the big places, a lot of my friends' kids played there, the Skadium. I think it's called the Skadium, right there by the Haverford Township headquarters on Darby Road, you know, where Darby and Manoa Road. And, you know, that's a really popular place. And, you know, who would have thought, you know, when we were growing up, I used to go to the Ramblers games all the time. And remember when we talked about it, when Ed Snyder started the Flyers, people wondered whether the NHL would survive in Philadelphia.
Right.
Yes.
Look at the way hockey's taken off.
Great point. Oh, I'd like to walk our next guest. He does a great job with the Tampa Bay Storm. He's a legend for the AFL, Director of Media Relations for the Tampa Bay Storm. Ben, I got one question tomorrow. If it rains tomorrow, is there still training camp?
There's still training camp. As long as there's no lightning, they're practicing.
Oh, okay. So you want to be down in tomorrow around 11. And okay, I just want to find out. I want to see if we're training or not. So it's camp for sure tomorrow. So you want me down there by 10:30.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay, I think you should be there by 9. That way you can get everything. Put the tarp on the field, and the thing will be dry when the guys get there.
I didn't know there's showers or not. I didn't know, but it's...
I want to say, Ben,
great press releases that you've been putting out all week.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
That's why he's a legend, Roger. He's a legend.
He is?
No problem at all.
He's so modest about it, Roger. You hear that?
I know. But he does a great job. They're great releases.
Oh, I know.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I try to keep everybody as informed as possible, give some storylines out.
Sure.
That's great.
Okay. And there will be practice. There will be training camp tomorrow.
Yes.
Good. Okay. I'll see you down there by 10:30 in the morning. I'll get down there by 10:30, right?
Perfect.
Super. Okay. Well, how's it?
Yep.
How's camp going so far?
It's going well. We have we have our first roster cut down on Friday.
Ooh.
So we cut down to 28. So the guys are a little, I wouldn't say on edge. They're probably in the back of their mind, but we got a really great camp. I mean, you can tell from my notes. I mean, these guys are just hungry. They want to play, and I think they're really responding well to Coach Samuels, Coach K, Coach Hovan, and Coach Miller. It's really a pleasure to see them this season.
I'm looking forward every time I go down to camp, and I always look forward to see how we looking right now. And I was down there last Wednesday. It looked like they're mid-season form, thanks to Coach Samuels.
Yeah, it's quite amazing. You look at them compared to last year. We have a lot of guys from last year returning, but there just seems, Coach K said this in the notes, and you can tell if you, just watching it. There's just a change in attitude. Everyone's happy. Everything's a lot of positivity. They're ready to go. They're ready to play. They understand the plays. They know the playbook. And you're right. It's like they're in midseason form. There's some stuff you have to tie up, obviously, because you're in training camp. But come opening night on March 14th, I think we're going to get I think we're going to do well.
I know we're going to do well up there. Hey, Ben, you got to tell Roger the story about the defensive backs, what they do after they break their huddle for practice.
Every practice last year, they come up with this, and the defensive backs are their own breed. They have they're a little cocky, a little bit of an attitude, and like they're the superstars of the defense. So every time they break the huddle, they put their hands up together, and then they come down and they swing down and they go woo. it's pretty funny, but that whole unit, that whole defensive back unit, Coach K coaches them up, and it's like next man up with them. You saw that last year; they hang together. They're just a really good unit to watch. I would say definitely watch them this season. We added some people that know, understand the positions, and the one thing that I feel about this team as opposed to last year, years past, is that you bring a new guy in, they're brought in, the players accept them immediately. There's no nothing like, oh no, this guy's going to take my spot or I'm going to take his spot. It's just like whatever can help the team. We're all in this together. We're going to win a championship. And that's a lot to be said.
And, what Coach Samuels has done is fantastic. And Coach Hovan, Coach K, those guys have been really prepared for the seasons ever since since the last season, since Lawrence got hired up there. I mean, this is the best training camp I've ever seen in a football team, Ben. They're spirited. They hustle to the ball. They're excited. They want to be there. That's the main. They want to be there.
Yeah. That was one thing that Coach Samuel stressed when we were recruiting and trying to get free agents in, is that we want guys that want to be here and want to play for the Storm, represent what the Storm mean, understand what the Storm means for the league. Look back at it. We're one of the winningest teams in the league, and if you count it by championships, we are the winningest team in the league.
Mm-hmm.
We're the oldest team in the league. And, you know, when you put on that Storm jersey, we want to make sure that the players that are in that jersey understand it, understand the history, and they want to represent the Storm, represent Tampa Bay. We're the winningest team in the Tampa Bay area, and we want to get back to the winning
ways.
You know
what, Ben? You know what I've noticed in talking to Lawrence over the, you know, the last year that I've gotten to talk to him, or 2 years? Everybody's dedicated, you, everybody on the staff, Tommy, all dedicated to the AFL.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think you see that in some other cities. And like Howard Eskin was talking about last week, you know, there with the Soul, there's so many other activities going on at the same time that they don't get maybe the notoriety that other teams would in another market. But you guys are all dedicated AFL people.
Yeah, yeah, you're exactly right about that. You know, we have a lot of stuff to do here, especially with, I mean, we have the Lightning playing in our own arena, you know what I mean? And, you know, you go to the beach, there's a lot of stuff to do here. But we're in a situation where the organization is all together, all Storm, all AFL, all in. And even if you look at the media, anybody that was around back in the day when they were winning championships and having consistent winning seasons, they're begging for the league. For the team to be better. They want to cover us. And I think
right.
That's great for the city to be all involved as well. And it really shows you're 100% correct. Everyone here, the whole community, you know, once the Storm starts playing and we get the word out, it's going to be Storm crazy again. That's my prediction.
I'm sure you're right about that. You know, I get some good news. I'll tell you tomorrow. About one of the people are excited about the Tampa Bay Storm. Big corporations excited about that. I don't want the
great.
Cat out of the
Tommy
bag.
Got
that
a big sale.
Tommy's always working that. The phone. I hear Tommy in the office every time he's in. He's always like, hey, can I interest you in Storm tickets? He's always working the phone. And we
have to.
Trust me, we appreciate it.
You have to. I'll tell you tomorrow. I'm not going to put the
cat
in the bag
now. He's
going
to be taking you guys out to dinner after this sale.
Checkers.
Yeah. Take you to Checkers.
Or what they catering for lunch tomorrow? There we go.
Yeah. We'll treat you to a nice training camp lunch.
The
cookies were good.
That, as they came into camp, there was no positions that were set. Have the advance from that stand yet, or is it still an open field for all positions?
No, I think it's still open field for all positions. You have to realize we're still at our max. We can bring into camp 35, and I think I'm pretty sure we're at that amount. And we have to cut down to 28. I don't think you'll start seeing real separation until next week when the final roster cut is down. But you know, for the big positions like quarterback, it's open season still. Open competition.
But the other question I had was, you had a recent tryout. How'd that go?
It went well. It went really well. We actually had a player there that ended up signing with us for training camp. So that was good. A lot came out of that, and they achieved their goal, and we achieved our goal of trying to find talent at a tryout. And it went well. I think it went well. The organization was happy about it, and everyone's pretty excited about the season. We actually have a preseason game in Jacksonville on Sunday, so I think we'll see a lot then. You know, people look great in practice, but now when we finally have adversity with when we're not playing ourselves, we'll see who can play. That's what I think will happen.
Oh, my favorite city, Knott's. Oh, boy. Not my favorite city up there.
Yeah.
Roger, Ben, I probably told you guys started watching on the Bright House Sports Network to televise a Storm coming down to Tampa. It's a very important game. And here it was. They had the girl, the sideline reporter, talking to coach. And they says, well, congratulations about the victory. And the girl said to the coach, she says, we still got to kick off. I swear to God. The then the bad memories of down here when we played in Jacksonville, Ben and Roger and Frank. The quarterback with Jacksonville threw the ball, you know, in the stands. The guy, the fan dropped, missed the ball. The ball landed on the ledge. Jacksonville picked it up, ran it for a touchdown. That's Jimmy Robinson. I was livid for that. I had to go downstairs and cool off and kick in trash cans. I was pissed. I had to go downstairs and cool off. I'm going to bite my tongue and sit on my hands this season, Ben. You know that.
Yeah.
I will.
At the tryout up in Atlanta, you had mentioned they had a guy who was faster than the speeding bullet, came in from, I believe, Chicago or somewhere there. Did he finally end up signing with you?
If it's the player I think you're talking about, then he's on our training camp roster.
Good.
He is.
Good.
Yeah,
okay.
I wasn't up at the Atlanta tryout, so I don't know, but I'm pretty sure I know. I know who you're talking about. Did he come from Kansas City, maybe?
Yes. I knew it was somewhere else.
Yeah. Yeah. He's on our training camp roster, yes.
Great.
Good.
Well, while we're talking about Atlanta real quick, Frank, I just want to welcome all our new listeners that are in the communications classes at Kennesaw State University,
ooh,
which starts football next year. And I was over there on Saturday and talked to Frank about it. And they were very interested in hearing about the show. So I know most of them are, if not all of them, are all turned in tonight, and they're going to be regular listeners.
Well, welcome aboard, guys. We're going to get one of those guys on. There we go.
Yeah.
Get one of those guys on up there. Be wonderful up there and that. But you know, Ben, how's our kicking coming right now? I know it's the kicking in the AFL is I think it's the most important thing. And that and special teams, how are we looking so far?
We're looking good. Kicking is, I mean, you know, we're outdoors, so it's hard to gauge kicking.
Right,
I think.
Right.
We'll see
right.
kicking. We'll see it at the preseason game. But from what I'm seeing, I think we look good. Special teams, we're looking pretty good. You know, as Coach K will tell you, you know, we're never good. But we could have the best team in the league. It's just old school football mentality, and I like that. We're coming along. We're coming along. The offensive defense has been installed, and special teams, that's something that you just have to you have to learn. You have to, in my opinion, you got to actually be in game situation to really understand special teams.
Well, that's fantastic. I'm so looking forward to that. I wish I'd make the trip for the Jacksonville. I'm so hyped up for the AFL, Ben. I wish I'd go on the bus trip with you guys. I'm so hyped up about watching you guys in the action. I'm
yeah, we're getting we're getting pretty excited. You know, everyone's really looking forward to the final roster and really looking forward to getting back to football. You know, we open up March 14th at home against New Orleans, and we're looking for a good time. It should be a really good time. It'll be fun, for sure.
No,
do you have any tickets between at home between now and the 14th?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Will you be having any scrimmages between now and the 14th?
Not at home.
Jacksonville?
Yeah, only Jacksonville. We're not going to be able to get into the arena and for a good reason, because of hockey.
Ouch.
But other than that, no, we'll be out at Skyway. For the foreseeable future, as long as hockey keeps that keeps staying on a roll, you know, we're all about, you know, storms all in with the organization. You know,
we're
happy that the Lightning are doing well, and you know, we're happy to definitely obviously use the arena, and we're happy for all their success they're having, and you know, I hope that we can carry the momentum from them directly into our league and our game, our team, and really just, you know, looking for good things in Tampa Bay.
You know, I'm seeing
Tommy,
at the end of the season last year,
right?
Commissioner Kuhn talked about being in Japan and traveling overseas. Is there any thought of expanding over there or playing over there?
You know, they had the I don't know too much about that. I know they had the AFL Global, which really wasn't that affiliated. It wasn't part of the league. It wasn't a league initiative. And they went out to Hawaii, and also they played in Beijing. But I don't know too much about that, really, I really don't know too much about that.
I think it was
AFL-2, which played like up in Scranton, Wilkes-Barre, you know, some lesser markets. But on the 14th, we'll all be at that game, I believe, right? Because I'll be down there.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, March 14th that week.
Great. Super.
Yeah,
there
March
you go.
14th. Yeah, everybody, I sent out we have our media day next week on March 7th. If you need credentials, just send out, check your emails, and then there's an instruction sheet. Send all the information there. We'll get you all credentialed up and everything. That's no problem at all.
Great.
There go Roger and Frank. Roger gets to meet Ben live. Meet Lawrence.
No,
live.
I don't know.
When
I don't know if Frank's gonna get credentials, but.
I knew it.
Uh-oh.
Hey, I'll tell you what, Ben. Frank's a heck of a coach. I heard him on Saturday when I called him. It was Saturday, right, Frank?
Yeah.
And you're out there coaching two games. And the kid scored, and I want to tell you, Frank was jumping for joy, I think.
Was he yelling at the refs, I wonder? Uh-oh.
Nope. I'm pretty good with the refs. I have a great team. It's one of probably the best coachable teams I've ever had. And
is it really?
Great.
Oh,
and that's saying a lot, Frank, with all the teams you've coached over the years.
Yep.
That's fantastic.
This team is 8, 9, and 10-year-olds, and they know football. They come prepared. There's no messing around. They sit down and, we have a team meeting prior to the practices, and we work out a little bit before we go on the field, but the first thing they do when they get there on game day is they huddle around and we say a prayer for our team and for our success and for the other team. And I've never seen a bunch of kids come together and gel as fast as these kids have.
Oh,
that's wonderful.
Great. Frank, it all goes down from the coach. The coach's influence. So you're doing
starts
a great job with it. Voting these young minds, Frank. So you're doing it. It's a coach.
We just have a great time. I have three assistant coaches that are extremely good position coaches, and we just have a great time with the kids and enjoy a lot of fun with the parents and the kids. We
Frank,
unfortunately,
how many
played,
years
Cal
have you been coaching? How many
Saturday
years have
and,
you been coaching?
I've been coaching since 1965.
Wow.
65, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I coached at St. James. I coached at PMC. I coached at Swarthmore College. In fact, the only time I ever got fired was Tom Lipinski and I went to Swarthmore College as coaches. He was the head coach. I was the assistant. We went in there. They were 0-93.
Oh,
our first year
right.
we 6-4. Second year we went 10-0 and we got fired.
No,
on studies, not football.
That is unbelievable.
10-0 for Swarthmore and you got fired?
Yes, we got fired. Yeah,
no.
It was too much. They won. In fact, we ended up winning the Division III championship that year. And the dean called us in and said that there was just too much emphasis on the physical sport and not enough on the teaching part. I said, well, we don't teach here. So we taught the kids how to be men. And the next year we were both coaching at which was great for us because we went to University of Delaware and coached at the University of Delaware.
Get
out of
here.
One of the best minds of football I've ever seen.
Was that you were in Delaware?
I was at Delaware in... let's see, it'd be 75 through 79.
Okay. Get out of here. Oh, my God. I didn't know that.
Because Tom DiMuzio was the quarterback. It set a lot of records there at Delaware. It graduated, I think, 69.
Great.
He was 4 years younger than me because he was a good friend of mine. We used to go to the same church. And then his son, you know, TJ, was at Delaware. And last I heard, he was at Bowling Green, but I think they changed coaches, and he's at another school now. But, you know, isn't that amazing? You go with an undefeated record, you win the Division III championship, and you get fired.
Oh, my God. That's shocking, Frank. I know, because 11 fell off at the time, close to Swarthmore, and they're 10-0. And here it is. I read, you know, Coach Frank Carroll had a 10-0 record, and years later, oh my God, we're doing this radio show with a coach. I'm like, oh, you know, it's like it's how weird time is, you know, Frank and Ben and Rogers. It's crazy. I'm like, 10-0.
Well, at Delaware, Frank, were you with Dave Nelson or was Tubby Raymond there?
I was with Tubby. That's what I said.
Tubby, that's what I thought. Yeah, because David was then the Philly Fanatic in 75.
Yes,
oh,
right.
That's right.
In fact,
oh, God.
My next-door neighbor was Larry Shank, and I introduced those guys, Dave and Larry, and Larry put him to work.
Isn't that amazing?
Actually, he was a copy boy in the office, and they came up with this idea about the Fanatic. And they were trying to figure out who the hell would they put in the suit, and he volunteered to do it the first year. He did it for $25 a game.
No.
Wow.
And he made it such a big thing that they ended up, his last year, he made like $125,000 plus car. He got a car and the van and everything else.
Well, he started his own company where he designs the outfits. I don't know if Ben's familiar with the Fanatic or not, but because Ben's from up north, he has really gone on to great things. And there's really only been two Fanatics. I mean, they have some alternates, you know, for events and everything. But Tom Bourgoigne was the number two to Dave, and Tom is still there. It's just those two guys over the years.
Yeah. It's just unreal. I mean, we had Storm Dog and Thunderbug, and the gentleman does that. Roger does a great job when he gets on the ice, and also Storm Dog, he does a great job of entertaining our fans, and that's what you want to be, the entertainment. That's why the AFL is such a great sport, because for the football junkie like myself, A, you're watching football, and you take someone down not a football fan, they'd be always being entertained, which is great.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
look
at the characters, I mean, that haven't made it over the years. I mean, I'm just thinking about the Sixers. Remember Big Shot? That was designed by Harrison Erickson, too. That never made it. Then they had the guy that was like the rabbit. I don't think he's around anymore. So, I mean, when you have a character, and I think that what ESPN has done, where they have the mascots, you know, up at Bristol, when they do these commercials promoting programming, and I think that really is a great marketing ploy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but
for sure.
But Roger, you had the hawk, and the hawk would never die. Kept on flapping his wings.
Still
Ben,
there.
St. Joe.
Hawk is still there. Yep.
Tell the story, Ben. We had St. Joe University, the St. Joe College back then, and the guy was the hawk. We ran up and down the basketball court. We'd do the circle eight up there, right? He was standing in the corner. He would never stop flapping his wings throughout the whole game.
Well, now tell me they had the budget cuts. They're cutting field hockey. They're cutting all kinds of things. Temple lost five top-notch sports. St. Joe's is losing three or four. The only thing they're really keeping is basketball and baseball, which is what they make all their money on. But the students and faculty are now really up in arms about it.
That's crazy.
I saw that Temple, Frank, was able to get contributions from supporters, and what crew is back. And but baseball is still out. They're working on that. And, you know, let's face it, you know what's killing Temple, there's no doubt about it, is football. Because of that rent that they pay at the link.
So,
great. $100,000 a game.
Yeah. We're not geniuses, but that's common sense. I mean, you know, and a lot of people wanted to get rid of it because then you could have these sports. Because baseball always did a good job, and I was just reading yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
You probably saw that same article Mike Kern had, Frank, about that they were playing over in Camden at Campbell Field and also playing, I guess, at the Link. And I don't know, I want to tell you, people in the area, if you ever have a Philadelphia area, have an opportunity, go over to Campbell Field and see a team, a game there. On a gorgeous night, there is no better scene than watching the Patco high-speed line coming over the Ben Franklin Bridge. And, you know, see, I mean, it's a gorgeous picture. It really is, and seeing the Philadelphia skyline in the background.
Right. It's almost like the Jake in Cleveland, Roger, because you see,
that's right.
You know, like, have the terminal tower goes on, those white lights come on there, you know, it's a perfect thing. And their media room, they used to have lunch, dinner with the Indians all the time when I always go up to Cleveland, right? And in their lunch room, Ben and everybody overlooks Lake Erie, because overlooks the 9th Street Bridge coming in there. And I see the power plant, Avon Lake. So last time I was up in Cleveland a couple of years ago, I just took a walk out there, and I sat out there watching the sunset on Lake Erie. It was gorgeous. People say, where are you going? I'm watching the sunset out there. It's gorgeous in the summer, but it's hell up there now, Ben. We thank God the Lord we're all down here, and Roger's going to come join us in a couple weeks to get out of that crazy Atlanta weather.
Yeah, definitely come down. We're glad to have you for sure.
I can't wait.
Yeah,
we have to get Roger some of the coffee in the break room. I don't know which is worse, Ben, the one upstairs or one in the break room, because Lawrence and I is a toss-up, we always said. Which is worse, you know?
Yeah,
I still
exactly.
See the one upstairs better. We got the crap one down here. Lawrence always is doctoring the milk. He's always doctoring that stuff up there. He's telling me up there. Oh,
yeah.
My God. I am so looking forward to seeing the boys tomorrow.
I hope everyone comes out on March 14th. We put New Orleans Voodoo, and we're gonna have a good time. It's 7:30 p.m. It's the first game on the AFL schedule, so you can be sure a lot of people will be in the house for that. And Coach Samuel can't wait.
You know, I think you're also, I mentioned earlier, and Dick Griffin agreed, I think that because of this bad weather that continues up in the Northeast, and they're getting more today and tomorrow, people are coming down south. And I think with the influx of the Northerners down there, I think you'll get an even bigger crowd than normal.
Yeah, I hope so. I think we're doing pretty well. And, you know, we're always the top draw in the league.
Sure.
I think that we will we'll continue that for sure. Actually, I know we'll continue that, and we're just happy to get the fans out there and give them a product that they can enjoy and be proud of on the field.
Oh, it's a family entertainment game. I mean, event. There's no doubt about it. It's great family entertainment.
Yeah, exactly. It's fun for everyone.
That's the main thing. Ben, I will see you tomorrow morning around 10:30. Is that okay, sir?
That's perfect, guys. Thank you.
Thank you, Ben.
Thank you, Ben.
All right, have a good night.
Same time next week, Ben.
Thank you for so much up there. I'd like to welcome thank Ben for coming on for the Tampa Bay Storm, the legend of the Storm. I'd like to welcome Doug and Frankie to the program. Gentlemen, welcome to the conversation tonight.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Great. So, I actually, Doug, I got to tell you a funny story, right? I was doing some work, and I figured, well, let me call the course up here, and let me go play 9 holes of golf up there, right? And the course is packed up there, so I get teed off for 3 o'clock, right? And I played this par 3. It was going downwind, and the course I played, the greens are very tough to hit the green up there, right?
Okay.
Doug, I took a nice level swing with an 8-iron, hit the ball high and fly, and I thought it was in the hole. It bounced out of the hole.
Oh,
what?
Yes.
Wow. Were you playing
the one with the windmill, Tommy?
Pardon me?
Is that the one with the windmill?
Yes. No. but you know, Doug might took a nice level swing because that's a question I want to ask you up there. And for people like they're coming down to Florida or coming in a warmer climate, what kind of swing would you use for, you know, getting yourself back to the normal summer round of golf? Would you try to experiment or just try to get back to your normal swing for your first time you haven't played in a while?
Well, I mean, obviously people, depending on how much they've played, they kind of know what their tendencies are, whether it's you know, hitting a low ball, a high ball, or the actual flight of the ball from right to left, left to right, straight, you know, or what have you. And that's one of the things that I think is a good signal of, you know, somebody that plays a lot of golf and somebody who has a little bit of, you know, success, is that they know what their tendencies are, and they utilize that when they play, you know, so they kind of know what to expect, and it makes the game a little bit more repeatable. For guys up in the Northeast, as Roger had alluded to, that God bless, anywhere has to be warmer than in the Northeast right now. We still have snow, and you know, the ground's frozen, and it's just been awful. And I know I probably haven't, aside from a few swings indoor, I haven't seen the golf ball fly for December, January, probably 3 months now. So, you know, it's rolling putts, and you know what I mean? Like your touch around the greens and those sorts of things they're probably a little bit behind me, and I'm going to need to, you know, get back into the feel of those sort of aspects. But, you know, the big thing is, you know, while there's not a whole lot going on, I've spent some time in the gym here and trying to retain as much flexibility as I can and, you know, obviously continue to build my strength. And, you know, those things, when you get out for the first time, I think you're just looking to, you know, make solid contact, try to hit the ball, obviously, in the center of the face and work your way back up from, you know, not making any swings at all, you know, primarily during the winter. So it's probably going to be about a three-quarter-ish swing to get yourself going.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good. I just want to ask, what about conditioning? Because you got half these guys are coming down here to Florida in warmer climates. They haven't played 18 holes and since the summertime and it's hot. How would you tell these guys just to lay off the alcohol until you get in the 19th hole? Because a lot of these guys are going to drink beer up there and have a good time. Actually, they're on vacation. But what would you tell these guys? Drink plenty of water because you're not used to the warm weather down here.
Well, yeah, again, I think for the professionals out there that like to drink on a regular basis, you know, stay with your pattern, I suppose. But for people that are coming down there for a vacation, you know, casual drinking, I suppose, is something that a lot of people enjoy. I can't necessarily mix the two because, you know, one, from a professional standpoint, that's not something that we're supposed to do anyway, obviously, during play. But more importantly, I don't like to get myself in a situation where I feel like I'm less than sharp or altered. So, you know, you got to drink lots of water. I always like to pack snacks in my bag, whether it's a handful of almonds or some sort of a granola bar, or even, if possible, depending on how hot it is, some fresh fruit. I eat a ton of, you know, Greek yogurt and those sorts of things that I think make nice protein-based, you know, foods that kind of can keep your fuel going for 18 holes. Unfortunately, I think people gravitate to, you know, that kind of turn food of hot dogs and chips and pretzels and those sorts of things that are kind of laden with carbs, and they mess with your insulin levels. And by the time you kind of get yourself to a high, you're already back down to a crash. So, you know, I try to avoid things that might spike your sugar, you know, just to try to stay a little bit more on the level side.
Well, that's great to know. Doug, like to welcome the show our baseball guy, Stevie K, and also Frankie. Welcome to the conversation. We're talking to Roger and Doug and Frank, and he's going to have a good time, talk some sports guys up there. So, Doug, I'm going to lead off with yourself. What do you think of the O's this year? I mean, you talk about your O's right now.
I think the Las Vegas line had their over-under at 81.5 wins. So they were right there in the middle of a 500 season. You know, I think that I really do wish they would have gone out and made some moves that could have secured an absolute winning season. And you know, I think a stud left fielder or, you know, a certifiable ace, which I know that's kind of redundant. You know, there aren't too many of those in the game, but a guy that you can give the baseball to every 5 days and know that he's going to get yourself a chance to win. I think they have question marks at the closer position, you know, unloading Jim Johnson in the offseason and not having a proven guy that can step in there, and they didn't go out on the free agent market and get anybody. Unsold on Ubaldo Jimenez. We'll have to see. I mean, I have high hopes for him, but, you know, Camden Yards is a difficult place to pitch in, although he pitched fairly well in Coors Field and kept the ball in play there. Nelson Cruz, You know, I think he's a professional type hitter who you can probably pencil in for 20 home runs and 80 plus RBI. Although, you know, he was had some PED issues last year, and we don't know how long maybe he might have been on those. And is that going to be, you know, something that maybe his better days are behind him at, you know, 31 or 32 or 33 years old that he is. So, you know, the core of their lineup remains extremely intimidating with Hardy, Davis, Wieters, Jones, Markakis, and all those guys. So, I mean, I have high hopes for them, and I think they'll have an 85-plus win season. So.
All right, Stevie K., what do you think about our Rays?
Well, first, let me briefly touch on one thing with Nelson Cruz and the Baltimore Orioles before I get going on the Rays. The one thing, I don't think the Orioles are too concerned about his power output, even though it splits away from Arlington and his career weren't as nearly as good as they were at home. The one problem that I think a lot of people were concerned with Nelson Cruz was in 2010 and 2011. He hit the disabled list five times with quadricep and hamstring injuries.
Mm-hmm.
And if you talk to anybody, anybody who's into the know, age, when as you get older, those problems don't become less apparent. They become worse.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly, like Nelson Cabrera, who also was oft injured, suddenly he didn't miss a game when he was active pretty much for 2 years in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if he's not getting that assistance, that's what the big worry with Nelson Cruz is. But
they did actually go out and get him to be their everyday DH. I don't know that his prowess in left field is something that they were looking for, although he may play some of that. So hopefully
don't put a glove on him at all. But
no,
the injury concern is not from playing the field. It's from simply running the bases and going from standing still in a batter's box to swinging to full acceleration. That's where the concern's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he reminds me, you know, the big worry that I have with Nelson Cruz is that he becomes the next Pat Burrell.
Ooh.
Yeah. True. Good point.
Interesting question. Frankie,
yeah,
what about
think...
your Philadelphia Phillies? What do you think?
I think the Phillies got it's going to be a skinny year.
Ooh.
Well, I'll tell you, Frankie, you know, it was interesting today. I heard on the MLB Network, the Milwaukee Brewers are 35-1. The Cubs and the Mets are 30-1 to get to the World Series, and the Phillies are only 20-1.
Ooh.
And, you know, I think, and I see what you think, I really think if they can get this starting pitching resolved, and a couple of these young guys come through that, like I think they will, I think they could do very well. And I'll tell you, when you look at Ryan Howard, he definitely streamlined himself and lost a lot of weight. And, you know, he hit a home run in an intra-squad game yesterday, but he seems really to be in shape for the first time in a long time after his injury.
Hey, Roger, did you tell all these guys that I came down to meet you a few weeks ago?
Doug was down with his lovely wife, and I'll tell you, Doug, after your father-in-law and I get to Florida, Florida will never be the same after RG gets down there. And wait till I tell him that we will be at the Tampa Bay Storm game on March 14th. He will be on a trip and a half.
Mm-hmm. That's right. You get to have when at the Storm game, we'll take you behind the scenes and meet everybody, Roger. I think you guys will thoroughly enjoy that.
It'll be great. It'll be great to meet Lawrence and also Ben. I'll tell you what, you realize I've never met face to face with Frank.
Hmm. Oh, you're kidding!
Yeah,
you did
over Cherry's a few years ago.
That's right.
Over at that restaurant when it was on the other on the station. That's right.
I mentioned earlier,
when the waitresses
walk
by. That's
right. Hey, Roger, he put me against the wall. I couldn't see a page sighting. And this,
get away with this girl. That's a great show, done.
Oh, I couldn't see a Stevie K. They had a waitress up there. It was a nice blonde, like 30, 38, you know, whatever it is down there, right? And she walked by there. There's a Jamie sighting. And I was looking staring at the wall up there. I says, Jamie, whoop, you're back on the air. I couldn't do nothing. Because they had me looking against the wall, sitting out there, had me looking straight against the wall if they're watching them. Frank, you remember that one gun show you said, that gun game up there? I was watching that more than watching the Jamie.
Yeah.
I remember those were good old days, I'll tell you. But I'm looking forward to watching when you guys come down. It's be fun.
Oh, can't wait.
Maybe.
Steve, I wanted to ask you your opinion. I heard today a lot of people are very suspect about the Yankees. How about you?
Well, the Yankees and Phillies, in my book, follow the same, same plateau of, very similar teams that need rebounds from a number of guys, especially in the pitching staff. You talked about a streamlined Ryan Howard as a hitter. You talked about a streamlined CC Sabathia, looking to regain his form as an ace at the top of that rotation. But if I'm going to war, I would prefer a younger team, of course, but. If you give me a team that's got, Ivan Nova, CC Sabathia, Hideki Kuroda, Masahiro Tanaka, and Michael Pinedo or Vidal Nuno to fill out my rotation, or David Phelps, give me a decent bullpen. They added Matt Thorne, and they got David Robertson back there. Got a few other arms coming back from last year. You give me a healthy Mark Teixeira. Now, no one's allowed to laugh. And Doug, you're from the Baltimore area.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so you're not allowed to snicker when I say that.
Okay.
If Brian Roberts can stay healthy, over there at second base, Derek Jeter can play 100 games, 110 games at shortstop, and maybe using Brendan Ryan over there at the remainder of the games. Scott Sizemore is somebody I really like, and, of course, the catcher. Brian McCann is someone I like. And then you got Beltre, Ellsbury, and Gardner to drive you crazy on the bases. And then you've got Alfonso Soriano, who's back at home where he belongs at DH. That's not – the talent's there. The talent on that team is there from 1 to 25 on that roster. But as we talk about the Phillies, if Mark Teixeira's wrist act up or CC Sabathia, even in the streamlined version, isn't hasn't figured out what ailed him last year. Hideki Kuroda finally meets Father Time, and Masahiro Tanaka is not exactly adjusting to major league life in year one. That Yankee team's in trouble. So, I guess for me, my opinion would be I expect them to be a good team unless.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the Phillies' best news they got in the offseason was Brian McCann leaving the Braves and going to the Yankees because he was definitely the Philly killer.
That's right.
Hey, as a fan of an AL East team, it's amazing how much money the AL East put into free agency this year, like they do a lot of years. And I get so mad that the National League doesn't have a DH to balance some of this out and to open up some of the, some of the talent. And drive it elsewhere in baseball it's crazy. McCann leaves and goes over to the Yankees. Beltran leaves the Cardinals, goes over to the Yankees. Ubaldo leaves the Central and ends up in Baltimore. There's a lot of guys that just ended up in that AL East, and it's unbelievable to me.
Yeah, I like the Brian Roberts signing for the Yankees because, I loved him in Baltimore. I just wish he could have, stayed healthier. And, that was an excellent roll of the dice for them because he's a dynamic, top-of-the-lineup guy that can hit a lot of doubles and be pesky on the base paths. I like Brian Roberts.
Yeah, you put Brian Roberts with what you just said, doubles and pesky on the base paths, and then you mix him in with Ellsbury and healthy Ellsbury and Gardner, and that's kind of something that other teams are going to have to figure out another facet of the Yankees because as they're on the bases distracting you, you might have Beltran, McCann, and Teixeira as power in the middle of that lineup. So it could work.
Yeah.
And Soriano.
Hey, guys, real quickly, Frankie has a hockey update for us. Frankie, what's your hockey update, please?
I don't have an update. I was wondering if you guys had talked about the Olympic Games with the U.S., both women's and men's.
Nah, we touched on a little, but what's your opinion about it?
The women threw it away. They got one fluke goal and played from their heels. And tried to bunker in. That's never going to win a game. They got them off their game, and they completely threw their game away after that first goal. The U.S. men never got started. No one wanted it. And that was evident in the 5-0 shellacking that, you know, that they then were served.
No, so I can agree with it.
Yeah, it's, you know, Russia was a huge surprise when Russia went out. But, you know, Finland deserved the bronze. The U.S. never got started against them. And, you know, I'm actually ashamed of both teams. I think that they were out-coached, you know, with the women's anyway, because, you know, they should have called a timeout when he saw that things were going bad. They should have called a timeout. They should have settled the girls down, but they didn't. You know, they bunkered in and they played from their heels, and you can't win games like that. They stopped chasing pucks. They stopped going into the corners. They stopped digging things out. They stopped back-checking. They stopped poke-checking. They just sat on their heels, and they all tried to play goalie, and it just didn't work. And they absolutely deserved to lose that game. And as far as the men, you know, no one wanted it. There was no real passing. There was no forechecking. There was no back-checking. You know, Canada was beatable, certainly. I think that... that was proven when they, you know, early on when they had some very close games. But, you know, it's a shame. You know, it always seems to be next Olympics, next Olympics, next Olympics, and that next Olympics has not come.
I got to agree with you, Frank. You went to this great point about that. I mean, but you get it back to the Olympics, guys. When I saw ESPN, I'm not going to say the commentators, they say the women's, you know, Olympic team choked. Now, you know, that's supposed to be, you know, and they're hammering a women's Olympic team. Now, I can see the NHL players, yes, they can hammer them, right? But those girls are amateurs. Why would you say an amateur playing her guts out says they choke? I didn't think ESPN had the right commentators to say that about the U.S. Girls Olympic hockey team.
Well, there was choking, but I don't think it was as much on the part of the team as it was on the coaching staff. The coaching staff should have calmed those girls down. They, you know, everybody, after you saw that first goal that Canada scored, which was a fluke, it was a deflection. You know, they should have stopped the game. They should have called a timeout. They should have said, okay, guys, they got one on us, okay? Stay on our game. You know, keep poke checking. Get it into their zone. And they didn't. You know, and then although the penalty at the end, there's so many different angles where she never even touched the girl. The girl just went down. She kind of took a dive. So that could have gone either way. That could have been a dive call. But at best, I think that should have been a penalty shot. I think it really, you know, to allow a 4-on-3 and then what would have been a 5-on-3 if they hadn't scored, there was no way they were going to win that game because the momentum was already shifted completely. Canada played 4 minutes, 5 minutes of that game. That's all they played. That's all the women's team played, and that's all they needed.
I got to agree with you, but I still don't think what ESPN said the girls choked up there. I mean, these girls are amateurs. I know that's my point of view. I don't know. Guys, what do you think about that?
Oh, they lied.
ESPN
has
high expectations for them, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I think if you see somebody choking is indicative of they were supposed to have won it easily and they didn't. You know what I mean? So
exactly.
Well,
I mean,
like the in the Olympic basketball with the Dream Team. You know, if they had lost and it only came in with a silver or bronze when they were expected to walk away with it, something like that. But Frankie, I wanted to ask you real quick your opinion. How do you think Olympic coaching has evolved since 1980 with Herb Brooks?
Well, you know, Olympic coaching back then, there weren't these set plays. There weren't these schemes that were designed. It was, you know, a lot of it was dump and chase back then, you know. And, you know, the sticks were a lot different. The players were slower. The skates were different. I think it's evolved due to the fact that there's been, you know, there wasn't a lot of research back then. There wasn't a lot of, and there certainly was not film on the Russians. You know, now they pour over film. They have all this, you know, they got computer animation and they have all this stuff. I think it's changed due to the technology. I think that you can get inside a player's head, and this is any sport. I think you can get inside a player's head and, you know, get them off their game. And I think that Canada was much better at doing that than the U.S., and I think the coaching will continue to evolve and change just due to the fact that there's all this new technology and all these new ways of playing. I mean, you remember when New Jersey, you know, when the Devils started that the trap, and everybody said it was cheating.
Right.
You know, but now everybody plays a trap in some way or another.
Right.
You know? So I think that it's evolved quite a bit, but I think it's due to the fact that the sport and the players have evolved quite a bit.
Good point.
A great point about that. So I think it's a great point what you said about that. And how's everything else going out there for yourself, Frankie?
Well, you know, there's it's actually warm. It's not cold out here, so I actually got out over the weekend and played around the golf and hit. Well, I shot about 79 on the first hole.
No. All right, Doug, get him a lesson right now. All right, come on.
Well, if 79 was the net result on the first hole, we got to talk more about some other things here. I mean,
there you go, Frankie. You get a golf lesson.
Hey, what does that old coupon say? Three lessons, you know, $300, one lesson, $1 million. If you want a miracle, expect to pay for it.
Yeah, that's right. That's my golf game before the other day. Oh God, but hey, Stevie K, how's Buddy doing?
Buddy the Dalmatian has not destroyed the couch because we've had supervision with him for the last week.
Is that lockdown?
Oh,
yeah, yeah. He's basically been having someone here with him. But I am, for those who don't know, I am on couch number 5 in the last year and a half with this Dalmatian. I would crate him, but I have four other dogs that we live with. I own 5 dogs, so.
Wow,
crazy.
That is a dog lover, no doubt.
That's right. Roger, the baseball games and hockey games.
We lost them?
We lose Tommy?
No, I'm right here. Frank's just says tick-tock, tick-tock, so we're right up against the clock up there. Frankie, thank you for coming on. Doug,
sure.
Thank you for coming on. Steve,
yes,
can travel safe to New York and have a great time.
Hey,
Roger,
thank
you very much. Always a pleasure, sir. You get to meet Lawrence.
Thanks, everybody.
The game and
I look forward to seeing you. Steve, I hope to meet you when I'm down there in a couple of weeks.
Hey, it sounds good to me. I'll try to get down to spring training. If not, I'll head over somewhere in Tampa.
Definitely.
Okay, great.
We'll
take care, guys. Have a great week. God bless.
Thank
everybody.
You.
Right,
thank you. Have a great week, Steve. Travel safe to New York. Miss you at the hockey game for Boston. See you back for the Boston hockey game. You travel safe and give the very best to everybody up there. And I'd like to thank guys for coming on. Dick Crippen from the Tampa Bay Rays. Roy Cummings, always a good friend of the program, good friend of mine, for coming on for the Tampa Tribune. Matt Gary from All Sports Arena about his big event, September 17th to the 21st. Doug, a resident golf pro, came on there. And Stevie K and everybody, and Frankie, come on there. And Roger Henner, Atlanta legend. Frank, did I miss anybody? Oh, Ben from the Tampa Bay Storm.
Ben?
I'd like to thank.
Yep, and Roy.
Ben for coming on, and Dick Crippen for coming on, and we'll try to get a hold on Sean Kemp for next week, or maybe a couple of Ray Surge for the Pittsburgh Pirates. I'd like to thank always our sponsor, Bradford White Water Heaters of Amber, Pennsylvania. We purchase the water, you log on to bradfordwhite.com. Tampa Bay Golf and Country, give Tim Baker a call, 352-588-5454. The Abbey Course was up there yesterday. They got a great special, Frank. Foursome for $80 this time of year. You pay $80 for one greens fee. Greens are great shape up there. Give Tom a call, 352-588-2016. Minder hockey fans, the Lightning saw him a week from tomorrow night versus Buffalo, 7:30 faceoff, 813-301-6600. When you're in the Tampa Bay area, come out and see the Tampa Bay Storm training camp. Log on to Tampa Bay Storm for more information how to get there. And, Frank, Howard Eskin's right. I was watching the 76ers game, and, my God, I'm not going to spend money to go Orlando watch this team. They are god-awful. Frank,
great.
Always a player.
Okay,
and Howard Eskin was right about the Sixer game. The only good thing about that, when you played her opening, we saw Billy Penn. That's the only good thing about that Sixer game. So, Frank, God bless. Great job. And you have a blessed weekend. The kids, a hug from me.
Okay, Tommy, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, these programs are brought to you each and every night in grateful appreciation of the men and women of the United States Armed Forces, men and women of Police and Fire Services. When you're out there and you see somebody in a uniform, please just walk over and say thank you. It means the world to all the guys and girls out there in uniform. These programs are also dedicated to the members who've lost their lives, Deputy Robert Anthony Carroll, Patrolman David Curtis, Patrolman Jeffrey Colcap, Sergeant Thomas Batinger, Patrolman Jeffrey Yazwitz, Patrolman David Crawford, Detective Randy Bell, Detective Ricky Childers, San Diego Officer Mike Kendler, Lieutenant Mike Zerba, Newcastle County Police, Patrolman Arnolfo Crispin, Lakeland PD, Deputy Barbara Pell, Broward County Sheriff's Office, Chief Al Hogle, Longboat Key Police Department, Chief Jimmy Ford, Wilmington Fire Department, Highway Patrolman Alonzo Moses, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Lazaro, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Bob Neary, Philadelphia Fire Department, Chief Mike Godwin, Philadelphia Fire Department, MIT Officer Sean Collier, Sergeant Mike Wilson, Charlotte County Sheriff's Office, and Deputy Jonathan Scott Payne of the Orange County Sheriff's Office. My brothers and sisters, although you may be 10-7 at this point in time, at some time we'll be 10-10 at the table of the Lord. Until that time, may the roads rise up to meet you. May the winds be always at your back. May the rains fall softly on your fields and the sun shine softly on your face. Until we meet again, may the good Lord keep you and your families always in the hollow of his hand. Good night.
Shem Aleich Ma Yilama Shem Ahezah Yilama Son Hashem Nevorat Fet Hakuig Again Ma Yilama I'm proud and God.
to 1999. County Dispatch to 1999. County Dispatch to 1999. All units be advised, 1999 has responded to his last emergency. May Kai rest his soul. Bob, we miss you. Good night, Frank. We love you.